You know, there is a mystery in healing. You know, sometimes he has healed in amazing ways and we just praise his name and give thanks. And sometimes he doesn't heal the way we want him to. And we've seen it, but in our case, we really have seen his amazing grace and healing and answer to prayer in
profound
ways. Got
the lab work to show it. Because we live in Cambodia, we needed to get medical clearance to stay there, and they discovered a whole bunch of stuff was wrong with me. And then they went, oh, great. The first symptom I had was that my heart would beat and then stop and then pause and then get a big whoomp. So we went to a doctor and he did some blood tests and discovered that my thyroid wasn't working well. And we sent in our form to get clearance to go back, and I did not get cleared.
We were at the Home Assignment Ministry Seminar, which is for Alliance workers after you come back from your term overseas. And there was a couple there that really talked about healing, and I was kind of encouraging Chris. I mean, you got these issues, maybe we should go forward.
We decided to go and have this couple pray for us. They were gentle and quiet and behind the scenes. And I told them about the symptoms that were troubling me still. And one of them being my extremities were never warm, even though we lived in a warm country. They just never warmed up. So they prayed and went to bed that night feeling completely the same. But the next morning during the meetings, I reached over to touch David, and his hand was just as warm as my hand. And I looked at him, and at the same moment, he looked and noticed it too. And we both went, I can't believe it. My hands are warm.
Chris has always had cold hands, and so it was such a surprise to me to feel a warm hand coming back.
So I was confused. What medications do I take, and should I be taking any? Because apparently things were getting better, and I didn't think I needed it, so I had full confidence God was at work. And then I lost the whole bag of medications that I bought for the year. The only one that I had was the one that was regulating my heart, and all the rest of them were just cold turkey straight off and didn't go back on. The same year, there were other symptoms that started showing up. I did start getting worse, a lot worse. And I wondered, was this due to the thyroid or was I not healed? I was very confused about what had happened, not knowing that there was another issue going on within my body. I started to feel older. I had no energy, and I wasn't myself even in my personality. Just things were messed up. I knew I had to get the medical clearance cleared again, so we went and made an appointment with a doctor and discovered there's a thing behind your thyroid called a parathyroid, and it was messed up too. So if I had not been healed of the thyroid thing and then new conditions came in, I would have attributed all of the other symptoms to my thyroid problem and not known about the parathyroid problem.
In February, we really were wondering whether we should go back to Cambodia or not. It was something we really put on the altar. And Lord, if you want us back, you're going to have to really do something, because, you know, she didn't have medical clearance and she also was getting worse. And we could just kind of sense that, yeah, God, unless you really show up here, we're not going to be going back to Cambodia.
We were at church, and they had asked us to come in and talk about Cambodia. The pastor and the wife of that church, they were there, and they came around and prayed for everything. Jesus is our healer, and he chooses. He said yes. Going from feeling like I was maybe 100 or so years old in every movement and energy level and ability to think clearly, and I woke up and I felt so much younger, like 30 years had dropped off in one night. And then the next morning, even better.
And so when the test came back normal, it was kind of like, well, This is kind of the proof of what God has done in answer to prayer.
I don't know why, and I still don't know why he chose to say yes in my case, and not just once, but twice. It doesn't mean when God says no to someone that there's some magical formula that I did or I am some awesome person, because I'm not. He just said yes. Jesus said yes this time. So with all that, we are healed. We were cleared to go to Cambodia, but then a few months later, we had another trial, and that had to do with David and his injuries.
Probably one of the most challenging things for us is to deal with physical problems because they are so close at hand. Last week was the first week we went to two services, and at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, right about 9 o'clock, I was on the floor at the end of my bed because my back was spasming so bad I couldn't even move. And you have moments like that, and you wonder, what is going on, and how am I going to be able to do what I need to do? And we have all of these questions, and I think oftentimes we don't know everything that God has given us, and we rarely tap into all who He is for us. And I think that is especially the case in our physical needs. We live in a day and age when there are incredible discoveries being made medically, and all of these things are going on, and it's really great and it's amazing that you have all of these opportunities for experiencing God to work in a special way. But one of the things that I think is so important for us to remember is that our Redeemer is a healer. We've been talking about who is Jesus. We talked about the fact that He is our Savior. He is the one who has justified us in the eyes of God, who has redeemed us from the power and penalty of sin, and who has regenerated us and made us new creations in Christ. And then we talked about the fact that He's our sanctifier. He is the one who is not only He's the one continuing to do that. He is the companion who is always with us. And He is the one who is the strength that we need to overcome any obstacle that's in front of us. So it doesn't depend totally on us, but it depends fully on Him. And then all of a sudden we get to our physical lives, and it's like we check God out and put Him in the closet, and then we kind of walk through whatever means are available to us. You know, however many Tylenol we can handle or whatever, you know, and it's not an either or, but it's somehow a both and, keeping us in a place of fully trusting God and then letting Him use whatever resource is at His disposal. So as we look at this morning, I want us to just pause for prayer, and then I'm just going to take us through some quick thoughts regarding God's provision for us in Jesus for our physical life, health, and strength. Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You that the stresses of life are not beyond Your reach. The physical trials of life are not greater than Your sufficiency. Lord, teach us to walk in full trust in You. And give us an understanding of how who You are speaks into our lives today. In Your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our Redeemer is our healer. Back in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for 500 years. And God brought them out of bondage in Egypt. And one of the first lessons that He taught them in the midst of the wilderness is found in Exodus chapter 15. So I want to begin there. And in Exodus chapter 15, beginning in verse 22, we find this. Reading down through verse 26. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went there 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, this is on the heels of just crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, seeing God's deliverance in a miraculous way. They came to Marah. They could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Looking for water this week? And he cried to the Lord and said, and the Lord showed him a log And he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Then the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, give ear to his commands, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. I am the one healing you, literally. And that is the term and the name for God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He is the one. One of the very first lessons out of redemption for Israel, out of Egypt, was that I'm going to take care of you physically. They were going into a harsh environment that they were not going to be able to handle. So many things that they were not going to be able, there was no place to run to for any comfort or anything. In the wilderness that they were going to be traveling in, it was constant exposure to rough. But God was going to be present. He was going to protect, and he was going to heal. And this is one of the very first lessons. And it's very interesting. I mean, by nature, as followers of God, I think all of us have always been inclined to complain. I mean, they sung this magnificent song about how God was their deliverer, and they knew that he could do it all the time when they crossed the Red Sea. And yet they were ready to kill Moses just before they got across the Red Sea. Now they're just a few days into the wilderness, and they're ready to kill Moses again. And what did you do to us? Why'd you bring us here? We can't get anything. And God steps in again and says, listen, I know this is a journey for you. And I think that's important for all of us to remember. The sufficiency of Christ is not something that snaps in any of our lives. It is something that we can read about, we can be told about, but it's something that we have to experience to really let it begin to anchor itself in us. That we've got to be able to have that knowledge. And you see them in this situation, and you see them struggling over this idea of trying to understand who God is. Yes, he's their deliverer, but now he's also their strength and their health and their protection. And I think it's important for us to be able to see that. And I think it's important for us to understand that God is beginning to connect some dots for them that we need to keep connected, or that we need to reconnect if we've never connected it. And that is that healing is not simply about comfort. It is about redemption. It's about a full redemption. Healing is about God completing his full work of redemption. And there's an ultimate promise that one day, this flesh and blood body that is always going to deal with some issues of sin, living in a sin-stained world, we're going to be free of it. We're going to get a new body. We're going to be with Christ, and we are going to be perfect in every way. There's not going to be any blemish. There's not going to be any disease. There's not going to be any complications. Revelation is very clear about that. There's not going to be any dysfunction in any of us. We will be perfect. And as we are going in that process, God is working to make sure that we experience the fullness of redemption that is possible for each of us in this life. And so it's important for us to understand that. It begins to come out in Isaiah chapter 53. So let's jump up to the book of Isaiah. And as Isaiah is beginning to talk about the coming Christ, the 53rd chapter is well known to most people who have been in church. But it is a great foundation where the prophet Isaiah is beginning to talk about it. In fact, we even began this series in Isaiah 53 talking about how the Son is a servant. And beginning in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, we read this. Surely he has borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Here Isaiah is saying what's going to happen through the gift of Jesus and what he's going to do for us on the cross. So there is a real connection to what goes on in our lives physically. And it's not just what goes on in our lives physically, but even physiologically, mentally. There is a sense in which God heals in every respect. Isaiah is very specific when he chooses those words. He talks about bearing our griefs, bearing our sorrows. It's not just our sin, but it's those things that torment us either mentally or physically in life. And so Isaiah is very clear that God's intention of healing is working in all of these areas. Now, these can be kind of difficult things to deal with. I grew up with a brother and a sister who are mentally disabled. And you begin to ask questions, well, where's God in that? And we struggle with those things, don't we? Or you have a physical situation that keeps going. Marcia and I have been reading in our devotional in 2 Corinthians 5, and we were reading over and over again all week long, every morning. It's like, what passage am I reading? Oh, 2 Corinthians 5 again. 2 Corinthians 5 again. And 2 Corinthians 5 talks about our body groaning. And when we first started, Marcia's elbow has been bothering her. It's really bothering her. And we stopped when we got to that and talked about our bodies groaning. And she's like, I got that part down. You know, we can get that. We understand all of these things beginning to come together. And it's like, but where's God in this? And I think it's important for us to ask that question. But remember, God's provision for us is about a full redemption, not simply our full comfort. And there's a difference. But we often like to equate the two. Because in our minds, the only way we can have comfort is to be free from anything that frustrates, harms, discourages, or is discomforting to us at all. And yet, the writer of Hebrews talks about Christ going to the cross, the most helpless moment of his entire life, and yet the most powerful moment and the greatest work of God ever accomplished in the provision of redemption for mankind. And Jesus was totally helpless. He was nailed to a tree, totally exhausted, beaten to a pulp, no human strength left other than to say, it is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You see that, and you see what is happening there. And there is purpose even in the midst of weakness. And I think that's one of the great thoughts in regards to the richness of redemption. A couple of weeks ago when we had the senior workshop and we had churches in and we were talking about how to minister to those who had Alzheimer's and dementia and things like that. And Kathy was here and she had orchestrated a lot of that. And it was just a wonderful day. God just led me to begin. It's like, it's so easy to think that there's no purpose in those moments. But the only way to get to no purpose in those moments is to throw God out the window. Because everywhere God is, there is purpose. If Jesus, in his weakest moment, humanly speaking, displayed one of the most amazing demonstrations of the power of God, you and I can be that vessel as well. And the writer of Hebrews says, for the joy set before him, knowing that there was purpose in his limitation, in his suffering, in his sacrifice, he endured it. And I think that same attitude needs to grow in us in that regard. Matthew chapter 8, we find the disciples and Jesus visiting Peter. And when they're visiting Peter, it says in verse 14, he says, they entered Peter's house. He saw his mother-in-law laying sick with a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and he rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons. He cast out spirits in a word and healed all who were sick. And then verse 17, he says, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and he bore our diseases. See, Jesus himself said, this isn't all about some just a mystical spiritual thing, but this is about both your physical life and your spiritual life all knit together in one person. I have provided redemption for you in a full way, in every way. Learn to trust me to be your life, your strength, your health. In every physical battle you face, every spiritual battle you face, whatever it is, I am your primary source and resource. And I think it's important for us to understand that. I want you to think about that for a moment. Jump with me now to John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not this man who sinned or his parents, but that the work of God might be displayed in him. Huh. You mean it's not always my fault? There's always something more than we see on the surface of what God's doing in our lives. And it's important for us to understand that. It's important for us to capture that. And that is illustrated the video that we watched earlier. We're going to watch the second half of that, because as she ended, she said, has God dealt with her physically? All of a sudden, now there's another problem for them getting back to the field. So let's watch that.
The Lord just preserved our lives. We're in a van, and it was traveling about 100 kilometers an hour. Back tire blew out. We had a lot of weight on the back end. It started fishtailing. Driver couldn't control it. I believe we rolled one time. I'm a little bit sore on a rib on the backside, but we're very thankful to be alive.
After Chris had medical clearance and we returned back to Cambodia, we kind of hit the ground running. I was traveling up to far northeastern Cambodia, and I got in a van. It was a Cambodian passenger van, no aircon, no seat belts, traveling about 60 miles an hour, about an hour into the trip, and one of the back tires blew. And as the van began to roll, a real quick prayer, Jesus save us. My face went right up against the window, but the glass that my face was squished up against was the only glass window that did not break. I remember there was a lady who had ridden in the van, and she said to me in Cambodian, oh, we were very lucky. And I just said to her, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I prayed that he would protect us, and he did. Because usually in those kinds of accidents, there's fatalities, and we didn't have a single fatality. They did do an X-ray. First, they thought it was a couple of broken ribs. As we further explored it with a CT scan, it was actually 6 broken ribs, a broken collarbone, and something called a pneumothorax, which is a hole in the lung. They said this really cannot be treated well in Cambodia. They ended up saying, you need to go to Thailand, where you can get very good medical treatment. We couldn't fly there because of the pneumothorax, this air in the lung. And I said, well, let's try to go overland, which is about a 12-hour trip. About 1 hour into the journey, I began to just feel air seeping from the lung. I mean, you could literally feel it, just air bubbling up. And actually, on the right side of my chest, the skin began to kind of blow up like a balloon.
What a pneumothorax can do is that it can suck air in from your lung when you breathe in, but then it gets trapped there, and it doesn't go out, and eventually it can even push your lung out of your chest. You die.
We called our doctor. He said, you need to immediately return back to Phnom Penh. Chris and Jenna were in the back seat
just
praying.
Put our hands right on him, because you could by now see the expansion happening in his chest.
And I remember thinking, Lord, please don't make Chris and Jenna watch me die.
I thought I was just praying him into the kingdom, but I asked God to heal him and not take him yet.
The Lord instantly touched us along the road. I could feel the air bubbles stop. The chest swelling began to shrink down. And you said it looked kind of like a balloon that had been deflated on my chest.
So it was wrinkled where it had swollen, and now it looked completely normal.
Just a couple hours ahead of us in the road, there had been a major traffic accident. Actually, that road was closed down for more than 12 hours. We actually would have been stuck in traffic. So God, in a sense, even saved us through this air leaking out by bringing us back through Phnom Penh and then eventually airlifted to Bangkok. the company that does the air evacuation said, okay, he's had a pneumothorax, so we have to put in a chest tube so he can fly. And then they took another x-ray with the doctor who was going to put in the chest tube, and he said, there's no more pneumothorax. It was completely gone. And it, just the day before, we had the CT scan clearly showed it. And actually, the people that were going to fly us out, they didn't believe it. They said, no, he had a pneumothorax.
They don't go away.
He said that doesn't quite go away like that. And so he said, you still have to put in a chest tube. So he said, okay, put in the chest tube, because that's what I'm going to need to be able to get treated in Thailand. We got to Thailand that night, gave me some x-rays, and basically said, yeah, the pneumothorax is no longer there. There are 6 ribs that were broken in the back and really needed to be put back in place with some metal strips. The doctor told us on Friday that he could do the surgery on Friday night, but on Saturday he was leaving to go on vacation. The hospital came up to Chris and said, okay, the surgery is going to cost about the equivalent of $10,000 US, and we need the money by 3 o'clock. This is 1:30 in the afternoon. We need the money by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we don't have a bank account with $10,000 sitting in it or anything. And we know like 4 people in Bangkok, we tried to call them and nobody was around. And they said, well, we'll delay it only till 4 o'clock when our office closes.
The fish in the coin is the story where Jesus said, go out and catch a fish. So Peter went out, caught a fish. It had a coin in his mouth and they paid the tax. That's what I was asking for. And after I did that, I was flooded with peace. And I looked at the financier and I said, the money's coming.
A missionary colleague who used to work with us in Cambodia, but now he is based in Thailand, I thought, oh, maybe I should try and contact him. So I Skyped him almost immediately and said, yeah, our church can help out. Their bank closed at 3:30. They got out the $10,000 at 3:20, just before the bank closed, came all the way, hand-delivered it to us at the hospital. Chris and him went at 3:58 to the finance office to pay our bill with 2 minutes to spare. So here in this city of 10 million people, basically not knowing anybody, needing $10,000 from strangers in about 2 hours, God provided in a miraculous way. I mean, really, it was amazing how God provided this fish with the coin in it.
The Lord, I guess, has other work for us to continue to do here. So thankful for that, His provision in the midst of this accident.
You see, the key to full redemption is not us realizing our dreams and being as comfortable as we can be our whole lives, but realizing God's plan for us. And that Satan can't stop that. There's nothing he can throw in our way physically, emotionally, spiritually, that Jesus isn't sufficient for. And you begin to look at all of the things that went into that. And it wasn't just a physical need in their lives, was it? There was a financial need. There was logistic issues with traffic and all of these things. And God steps in and he provides. There is a fullness in Christ that is so rich for all of us. And it is about that sense of full redemption. James 5 begins to give us a course of action. So what do we do? How do we begin to walk in, experience, and explore the fullness of God for us? In James 5, beginning in verse 14, it says, anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it is working. It is amazing to begin to think about the fullness of redemption that is in Christ. There are some real specific ways that God asks us to move. He asks us to begin to recognize our needs and to call others to come along and pray with us. Prayer is a great step of action. And then he says to evaluate our lives and see if there's something going on. Is there something else that could be a distraction, a hindrance, or a hurdle? I want us to just begin to look at kind of debunking the myths and beginning to, how do we begin to walk through this? So is prayer a guarantee that we're always going to be healed? Because that's one of the things we think. You know, well, okay, here's the path. I'm going to call, we're going to pray, and I'm going to be healed right away. And I have seen that happen. I saw it happen with a lady in my church in Massachusetts when I was about 10 years old. Saw us gather for prayer. She was given 3 to 6 months to live. Her body was riddled with cancer. They came. We prayed together at church. The elders anointed, prayed for her. In the last 10 years, she just passed away in Kentucky. God stepped in. I saw it in my first place of ministry. We had a young girl who was a worker with Campus Crusade for Christ. She attended our church. She had this bump on her foot almost all her life. She finally had insurance, so she went to have it checked out. The doctor said, it's a rapidly spreading cancer. We immediately need to take your leg off from the knee down. They amputated her leg from the knee down, and they said, we're going to check in a little while and see how this progresses, but we're really concerned that it's already spread to other parts of your body. She came back just before Christmas, had some scans done. There were spots all through her lungs. Doctors told her to go home, spend some time with her family over the holidays, because and she needed to think about what the courses of action were, but they weren't giving her any positive prognosis. We prayed for her. She came back. Doctors did another scan to begin to explore possibilities for her. Her lungs were clear. The head pathologist at Alachua County General Hospital in Gainesville was a member of our church. And he said it was the first time he'd ever seen. He put the two scans that he analyzed and he did the biopsies on her foot on the tumor. And he knew exactly what it was. And he knew exactly where it would go. And he put those two scans on the screen and he took a picture of it. And he simply said, God heals. God can do that, but prayer is not a guarantee. It's not something that we take to the bank. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul prays three times and says, God, remove this thorn in my flesh. A lot of people believe it was a physical need that Paul was praying about. We don't know for sure what it was. But prayer doesn't guarantee. But what does God say to Paul? My grace will be sufficient for you. You see, prayer is a guarantee of God's sufficiency, but it is not a guarantee of the outcome we would like it to be. Unless we can adjust our minds to seek and want Christ's sufficiency. When we begin to get ourselves in that place, we begin to get ourselves on a really solid foundation, both physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Secondly, we times wonder, well, is faith the key? It's interesting. You look through Scripture. In Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood reaches out, touches Jesus' garment. She's instantly healed. And he turns and he says to her, your faith has made you well. So in that case, faith was a part of it. In Mark 9, Jesus heals the blind. And he says, it's by your faith you've been healed. But then we go to Matthew, and in Matthew chapter 8, we read about the centurion. And remember, the centurion is coming to Jesus, and he's pleading for Jesus to heal his servant, not himself. And Jesus says, oh, it's great faith. But it's not the servant's faith, it's the centurion's faith. So here, it's faith by proxy that brings healing. And the same thing with the women with the issue of blood in Matthew 15. She comes pleading for her daughter. And the Canaanite woman pleading for her daughter's healing. And she said, and Jesus responds to her, no, this is for the children of Israel. She says, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. I understand I'm not a part of the covenant people. But your power extends beyond that. So it was both a prophetic and also, but by her faith, her daughter is healed. So again, faith by proxy. But then you go to John 5 and the healing of the pool at Bethesda. There was a pool there that people would gather around and the lame man couldn't get into the pool and he was trying to get into the pool and the thought was that the first one that got into the pool after the waters were stirred would be healed. And Jesus says, take up your mat and go. Nothing about faith. He doesn't even recognize who Jesus is. His focus is on the pool. He doesn't even know who this guy is. But now he tells him to get up and he goes. No faith involved at all. Acts chapter 3, Peter healing the lame man. Again, not Jesus, but Peter healing. Never a mention about the man's faith. I can't give you money, but get up and walk. I can give you the sufficiency of Christ. It's we think wrongly when we think, if I just have enough faith, this will make this happen. It's way more than that. And so we have to be careful as we walk through that. What do we need to focus on? Just simply walking with God. If healing is about a full redemption, redemption is about learning to walk consistently with Him. The movement into the promised land is a type or a picture for us to look at. And what did God say to the children of Israel? Obey my commands, walk with me, be faithful to me, and you will conquer. As we walk with Him, we begin to see what His purposes are in our lives. You see, one of the first things that we should do as we begin to pray is, God, what's the purpose in this for me? And how are you going to glorify yourself through it? You see, because redemption is about recognizing the fullness of the sufficiency of God and His provision in Jesus. And then we should just pray continually. Keep ourselves in step with Him. Just praying continually, constantly communicating with Him, specifically and in general, dealing with the things that are before us to try and keep ourselves attuned to His voice so that we can begin to hear as He begins to speak. I want to encourage you, as we think about this and as we transition into the Lord's table this morning, how do I approach healing? Can I suggest three things? Walk with God, pray continually, trust fully. Boom. Walk with God, pray continually, trust fully. As we do that, we begin to experience God's provision. Not just for ourselves spiritually, but for ourselves physically, emotionally, we begin to step into the fullness of who He is. Who is Jesus? He is our Savior. He is our sanctifier. He is our healer. He's our strength. He's our health. He's our life. Within our very own congregation, we've got numerous examples. Phil with his cystic fibrosis. Me with my celiac disease. I look at the fact that when I was first diagnosed with celiacs, they gave me a list of things like this long to begin to watch for in my life. Because all this could go wrong, you know. And now I'm sitting here and I may have a lot wrong, but not on that list yet. I look at my brother and my sister and I've watched God speak through them for who they are and glorify Himself. God, the sufficiency of Christ is not about everything coming out the way we think it ought to. It's about Him removing the things that distract us from realizing who He really is and trusting Him for that full redemption. As we begin to prepare ourselves to celebrate the Lord's table, we've got two sets of chairs at the sides for the gentlemen that are going to come and serve communion this morning with us. In just a minute, I'll invite them to come forward. But I want you to take a moment as we begin to go into communion to prepare your hearts. What is God saying to you today? How is He speaking to you? And do you understand that this bread, this cup, is to be a remembrance of His sufficiency until the day He comes? What are the needs that you consider His business and the other ones that you need to deal with? Can I suggest you bring them all under Him? Paul in Corinthians challenges the church, and he tells them to prepare their hearts. And so I am going to invite you to prepare your heart. I am going to read Psalm 123, and I'm just going to ask that you close your eyes. Psalm 103. And I'm just going to ask that you close your eyes and just prepare yourself for the Lord's table. And just examine your heart. If you are a believer, thank Him for His sufficiency. If you haven't yet trusted Christ, I encourage you to do that. And at the close of the reading, I'm just going to pause for a moment, offer a prayer of thanksgiving for the elements, and then we're going to celebrate together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place it knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Father, thank You for Your word. Enable us to let You reign, to allow Your dominion to cover all of our life, so that we might find Your sustaining strength in every way. So that we might know removal from those things that are obstacles to keep us from accomplishing Your purposes. So that we might know Your sustaining grace. So that in everything, that which flows from our life is for Your glory. Teach us to pray with all prayers and supplications, so that Your very peace will guard our hearts and minds. In You, Christ Jesus. Thank You for Your provision. Thank You for this bread and this cup that reminds us of Your sufficiency for us in every way.